You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
John Holloway is a sociologist, philosopher, and author. He has studied global social movements extensively, especially in South America and Mexico, where he has worked closely with the Zapatistas. He is a significant figure among modern Marxist intellectuals, and his work has stirred much debate and been influential among many groups of activists in modern social movements. His most recent book, Crack Capitalism, was published in 2010. Red Eye Collective member Manuel Schulte recently read Crack Capitalism, and he joins me in the studio now to discuss its contents. Hello, Manuel.
Hello, Sean.
The book has been out for almost 2 years. What made you decide to review this book?
Well, I've been active with the Occupy Vancouver People's Library, and somebody had ordered it in, and so I started reading it, and I found it immediately very compelling. It was, at first I thought, and probably most people would think that the crack refers to the street drug crack cocaine, but it's actually mostly used as a verb in the sense of to crack, right? So the idea is, you know, how do we crack capitalism? And also, you know, that creating cracks, like the image of the crack in a wall or in the ice, is extensively used in the book as well. And the imagery in the book is very interesting, and this storytelling. It's interesting because it's political, but it's also poetic in a sense. And much of the argumentation kind of happens in that, in a sort of a theoretical but also a poetic space, which is very interesting. So I found it very gripping, and it also provided a very kind of useful framework to view what I was experiencing in the context of Occupy. It gave me sort of a very useful lens to view that through. So I found it quite refreshing and quite inspiring.
Okay, well, it helps explain the title a little bit. What about the ideas of the book? What ideas does the book deal with?
The basic theme, I think, is, you know, what do I do in the face of this overwhelming, and crushing social, political, and all these economic and these systems that we're part of? You know, what creates these systems, and how do we act in the face of them to overcome them, right? So and I think the essential part of it is very much that what we do matters, and how we do matters, right? And it's interesting because he kind of gets into, you know, how he sees, you know, the capitalist system, sort of what forms the system, and he bases it very much on what we do, right? And he contrasts what he calls doing to what he calls labor. And so labor is kind of this abstract and alienating thing that we do. Like we do things in exchange for other things, which removes us from our activity. Yeah, we don't feel connected to what we're doing, right? So we feel alienated. And this alienated type of doing is what he sees as kind of the germ of what creates capitalism, which is also a social force created out of this laboring that acts on us as well. And so the idea is kind of that by not participating in labor and doing something else, other things can emerge, right? So that's very much part of it.
Well, I take it that the crack of the title then is kind of, it's an alternative to the what you call the alienating labor. What is the method of the crack?
So he actually calls it the method of the crack. And basically, it comes from this something from within, where you feel like, you know, something is not right here in some activity. And what you do is you listen to that voice and it's you say, no, I'm not going to do this. So that's sort of the first step. That's kind of creating a crack, and that creates like a space. a space for other doing.
What are we saying no to?
That's a good question, I think, right? It's the experience of labor, of the abstraction, of the alienation that we're saying no to at some level, I think. So it's like, it's a very intuitive kind of thing, I think. Very much, you know, it's not that you necessarily have to know where that no comes from exactly, right? I think is what he's saying. It's sort of like you feel there's something wrong and you want to do something different. And so he says basically that, you know, you should do something different. And in doing something different, you create something new. And that's an experiment. He calls it an experiment, right? So you're sort of engaged in this kind of experimental process of doing something different. And it's not necessarily an individual thing. Like, it can be a co-op or different, you know, people are engaged in different activities, you know, community gardens, co-ops, you know, all kinds of things. Could be protest movements or whatever, how we organize, right? These are all experiments. They don't necessarily have an outcome that is defined, but they teach us something about other doing, right? And they can be contradictory as well. And so then he talks about confluences, kind of this idea that these different contradictory things, they're all creating these cracks, and they're cracking the system, they join together in different ways, right? And so that there's this idea that somehow that this, it's okay to be in the contradiction and still act, right?
It sounds like a very anarchistic model to me, but as I mentioned in the introduction, Holloway's considered a Marxist. He's categorized as a Marxist. How does Marx fit into all of this?
So Marx, yeah, I mean, he comes sort of intellectually from a background of Marxism, and I think he participated in something called Open Marxism, which there's different tendencies, I guess, and, you know, it's sometimes the categories are very blurred often, and it is definitely more kind of an anarchist kind of roots is his thinking. And I don't know that he's actually a Marxist, whatever that means exactly, I'm not sure, but, you know, the systemic analysis, I think, is part of it, you know, and he actually, in the book, he talks, he brings it back to Marx, like this idea of alienation and abstraction of labor is what Marx's kind of analysis is rooted in at the beginnings as well, or parts of it. So he talks about that in the book. I'm not well read in Marx by any means, and that actually was very interesting too, because it was a really nice introduction, I think, to, you know, why even this kind of thinking is very important somehow.
Another big aspect of Marx is the class analysis. Does he have anything to say about the class struggle?
Yeah, and that's, I think, something very interesting is he sees sort of the class struggle as actually increasing capitalism in the sense that it legitimizes it, right? So for him, the roots are not workers against capitalists. They're it's doing against labor, right? The struggle the capitalist struggle, in a sense, labor strike by fighting for concessions, you know, or for, you know, more money, or, you know, less working hours, so to speak, legitimizes both the abstract doing in terms of, you know, making money as a legitimate form of human activity, a beneficial form of human activity, and also time, which actually has a very interesting discussion of time in the book as well, where, yeah, the clock time, he calls it, you know, it's very different from the kind of time that is sort of a more natural time, right? That, you know, the activity-based time, things take as long as they take kind of idea. And so traditional labor struggles in that sense legitimize the system by increasing time, you know, clock time, and you know, the idea of the abstraction of value and things like that. So it's a very interesting discussion in those areas. Yeah.
Well, one reason that people take that piecemeal approach to the labor struggle is, I would guess that, you know, people have to eat. I mean, this is one reason we ask for concessions from our management and so forth. Does he have anything to say about that? You know, the people have to eat, and we there are those physical limitations. We have to eat. We need shelter. We need security.
It's an interesting problem, and it goes to kind of the core, I think, of, or part of the core of what he's getting at too, and this idea of the crack is kind of, you're in this crisis of what do I do, right? And there's that's where that kind of intuition and the cry thing happens, right? Where you, by listening to the feeling of, wait, this is wrong, you know? Again, it creates that space for other doing, he calls it. And he doesn't, he says it's very, it's context specific, right? And so there's this trust, this kind of leap of faith that he asks people to engage in, where, yeah, you don't know the outcome. You may not know exactly, you know, where you're going to get what you need, but by creating that space, it creates an opportunity for types of activity where you can find it some other way, right? If you actually need it, you know. Often I think too, especially with this kind of abstraction idea, there's this tendency to think we need things that we don't actually need.
How accessible is the book?
I think on the whole, it's quite accessible. I mean, some of the discussion around sort of the Marxism and sort of the theory and stuff, some people might find a bit difficult. I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends, obviously, on who you are. But I think the big challenge is that kind of leap of faith that he asks. To read the book, you almost have to enter into his logic to understand it. It's almost like you have to create a crack, I think, of time, of space, to get what he's getting at, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably really the biggest challenge in reading it, I think.
Well, it sounds like you found it quite profound. What was most profound about it for you?
I think there's something in these basic questions, like even just the question of labor, right? Which is not something that's not really addressed or discussed much. Is labor a legitimate activity? It seems quite essential to humanness. And the fact that it's not discussed, I think, is very telling. And the idea of this constant revolution and always creating cracks and the struggle, and that's, you know, getting back into our experience. Like, those are all things that somehow seem to me to be ignored in our culture, you know, living from experience, legitimizing our experience over the abstract, over the theoretical, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you spoke of the poetry earlier. You spoke of the poetry and the analogy of the book. Can you give me an example give me a passage from the book?
This is basically, it's the last chapter in the book, basically. It's a short chapter. This is the story of many, many people. It is the story of millions who have woven their way in and out of these pages visibly and invisibly, audibly and inaudibly, consciously and unconsciously, of the millions who want to shape their own lives, of the millions who want an end to misery and poverty and exploitation, of the millions who do not want to go on participating in the destruction of human and non-human life, of the millions who want to stop making capitalism. This is the story of the girl in the park who, wearied of all the controversy stirred up by her simple act of reading a book, this book, yet excited by what she has read, takes out a pen and continues this paragraph with more and more and more and more examples of people whose misfitting is an overflowing, and then goes on, for she knows that the book is unfinished. This is your story, the story of you, gentle readers. Perhaps you are the girl in the park. Certainly you know that the book is unfinished. Leave it open now and give a great whoop of joyous rage as you go forth and stop making capitalism and asking, make the world anew.
What do you think people are going to come away with if they do read this book?
I think the big thing is encouragement, and it kind of, there's something about it, I think, that encourages us to get out of our isolation and to act, you know, even if we don't know the way forward necessarily, whatever it is, start with a small act and it kind of builds, I think, and to keep struggling, right? That crisis in that sense won't end, and it's an ongoing journey. But by keeping the exploration going and by keeping the experiments going, things can get better. So it's very, there's something very hopeful and very encouraging about it. And I think,
get out of our isolation sounds like a good start to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Manuel, for coming in and discussing this very interesting book.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Red Eye Collective member Manuel Schulte. He's also a librarian with the People's Lovely Library of Occupied Vancouver. The People's Library has a copy of the book, Crack Capitalism. To find out more about the Occupy Vancouver's People's Library, please visit peopleslovelylibrary.net. And the book is also available at the Vancouver Public Library.